It's great to be here. Where's Ruth? Ruth, okay. Ruth, just wait half a minute, okay. I'm going to invite Ruth Awagbade up in a minute, okay? And when she comes up here, you have to give her a very, very warm welcome, because Ruth is a real pioneer in faith. And this woman has set something up that actually is benefiting so many different areas of the church. And there are so many different, primarily women, but actually quite a few guys that I know as well, who are being incredibly blessed by what Ruth is doing. So could you give a very warm welcome, please, to Ruth Awagbade. Come on down. So this is Ruth, and Ruth is becoming increasingly well known, but she's also known because she's Bode's daughter. But that's not that, okay. So some time ago, Ruth had a vision and a calling for some sort of magazine and to communicate Christian truth to a broad spectrum of people. And she started something called Magnify. And it started small, and all I can say is, it's now big. It's big, okay? Ruth, can you just tell us a little bit about what happened when you produced this magazine, Magnify, and what people were saying about it and that sort of thing? And, okay, be totally unashamed and just big it up as much as you can, okay? Because I know what your dad's like. Your dad plays everything down, okay? Okay, go on then.
So the vision of Magnify is to give women the chance to explore Christianity and see how a personal relationship with Jesus can impact every area. And releasing issue one was just a really humbling and overwhelming experience. So we had Marie Claire did an interview feature with me in April, and that was just an amazing... Can you hear me? Hello? Okay. So Marie Claire, they did a feature, and it was just an amazing opportunity to share my faith in a really honest and open way. And then the Huffington Post described Magnify as the Christian women's magazine, breaking every stereotype. And I also had an email from the editor of British Vogue, and she was just really blown away by the content. And she just said that she'd never really seen how faith was that relevant to life, but Magnify was a great read. And I just want to read one testimony that we had, because obviously these things are great, but actually what we're passionate about is the individual lives of people being transformed. So this was an email we got. So, dear Magnify, I just wanted to email in to say thank you. Normally when I'm excited about a new book and I find I am enjoying it, I try to make it last. My Magnify issue 2 arrived yesterday, and I have read it back to front. No publication has ever spoken to me on such a profound and sincere level. Brought up in a Catholic family, going to Mass has been a weekly routine, and religion has always been around me. However, my personal faith has not been as consistent. To discover so many of my personal questions there on print in relation to God's path for us, an example of people's journeys, has both been liberating and inspirational, to say the least. Having come home from university, I'm about to embark on a new chapter of my life, which is exciting as much as it is daunting. I could not have read issue 2 at a better time during this season of facing change. Without sounding too cheesy, this is the magazine I have been waiting for, but was unaware of how much I needed it. No doubt many others feel the same way. Many, many thanks, Christina. Fantastic.
It's just really very, very exciting to see what Ruth has done. And she's just had this vision, small, and started something, and then it's just grown and grown and grown. So now, I got some of the stats from Bode, but issue 1 just kept selling out. And actually, I know that we bought lots of copies.
Thank you.
We bought some, and we were just giving them out and trying strategically to give them out to different places. So issue 2 has just come out. Yeah. So just give us a brief glimpse. What some highlights that you, I know the whole thing is a highlight, but just give us one or two things from there that you think, oh, this is going to blow people away.
So Jo Malone, obviously, I'm sure most of us have seen the Jo Malone brand, and I didn't realise till last year that she was a Christian. So we sent lots of copies to different people, and she actually emailed back to say that she loved it and she wanted to chat. So we ended up interviewing her in this issue, and she's just the most inspiring woman. Like, I had no idea. She'd grown up very hand-to-mouth. Her family hardly had anything, and she just always loved scents, started her business. She really battled, had a very hard battle with cancer 10 years ago, and just saying how her faith really pulled her through. So that was an amazing story. And then also a woman in America who's very big in fashion. Just again, an incredible testimony of holding on to the truth of God's word and knowing her identity. So she worked in fashion, very visually beautiful, but 3 years ago, in her parents' back garden, a helicopter just descended, a total freak accident, and she lost her left arm and her left eye. And obviously, for any young woman, for anybody, that is just a really harrowing and transforming life event. But she's now, you know, set up a charity, and she's very well known in America. So lots of magazines kind of covered her wedding, where she had the opportunity to just talk about God's goodness and that journey that she'd been on. So I think, yeah, issue two, we've just tried to really go deeper and not just cover, well, cover amazing inspirational stories, but also people who've had very difficult life circumstances, but just, yeah, with through their relationship with God, seen their lives transform.
Fantastic. In a minute, we're just going to, I'm going to ask you some real practical things about what we can do with Magnify, but just to ask you another question that I didn't warn you about, but just to try, because what you're doing is you've taken an idea and you've transferred it into something tangible that actually was blessing an increasing number of people, and there's that sense of God's call on your life. And I just think it'd be quite interesting to get a little bit of insight. How have you done that? How have you, what has been the things that have kept you going most of all? Because, you know, these things are never easy, are they? They're never plain sailing. And what is it that has really motivated you to think, no, I must get this magazine out? And maybe just one or two of the things that, oh, no, this has been difficult, but how you've overcome it.
So I guess when I started Magnify, there was no grand idea. I just wanted to reach my three best friends, Jess, Fran and Carly, from school. And they're atheist, Jewish, totally not interested. Well, they weren't. And so for me...
How are they now?
So they love coming to events. And actually, I was at dinner with one of them. And then she was saying that, oh, there was this article that she really loved in the magazine. And I was like, oh, I can't remember. And then she was like, oh, wait, I've got it. I take it to work. And then pulled it out of her bag. So I think for me, the very amazing thing is that I can really see every day. I talk to them, the people that I'm actually trying to reach. So that keeps me going. Testimonies like the ones we receive. I'm not just saying it because he's here, but my parents are just the most incredible people. And there's been so many times, obviously, I'm 27 now and I started Magnify when I was 19, but so many times, and I've just been like, I just want to be normal, I just don't want to do this. And my dad would just be like, we're just going to pray, let's just calm down. I keep going. So I think, yeah, just having amazing people, but just seeing, you know, the world that we live in is just so terrifying in so many ways. And particularly as a young person, just through media, we just see so many different things telling us this is what we can be, or we can just be anything that we want to be. And just never more has there been an amazing time to have just the privilege, really, to share the message of Christ, which is truth and life transforming.
I think for those of us who've read the stories, the stories in the magazine are just fantastic. And we love you, Ruth.
Thank you.
And we love what you're doing. But actually, we love and the way that you've caught something. And so this that's the first issue, isn't it?
Second issue.
Is this?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. No, that's the second. So just tell us, the goal is that we want to... Yeah. We want to be able to buy it.
Yes.
So you've got plenty of copies there that we can buy. And what else can we do?
Just to tell people, buy copies. So not just for you, but thinking of whether it's daughters or nieces, particularly those who aren't church, neighbours, colleagues. And it's just something that we really want to be a blessing. So obviously it's available in lots of newsagents, but we know that the power of Magnify is through personal relationships. So just to really use this with all the amazing work that you guys do here as well, but just as a tool for evangelism is really what we want Magnify to be.
Fantastic. So when we finish, you will be there.
Yes.
And how much?
Normally £6 plus delivery, but we're selling them for £5 today.
Okay. So £5. So I would encourage, like, every single person, if you can, you may not be able to afford it, but if you can, to buy one. And I just think, can you buy one for somebody else as well? And it's not, this isn't a marketing thing, you know, just trust me. It's not to try and say, it's not to sort of like make Ruth's sort of like figures go up, actually, but there's something, a phenomenal tool of God. And actually, you know, I think if every waiting room, every dentist had something like that in there, it would be awesome. But instead of reading sort of like car magazines that are 4 years old or, you know, Red or whatever it is, you think, wouldn't it be great if there was something that was quality like this? In there. So I just ask you to be imaginative, just to think what could be, and then afterwards at the end, they'll be there. Mm. Before you go, Ruth, we're just going to pray for you.
Thank you so much.
Father, I want to thank you that, Lord, you do take us wherever we are, and you, Lord, you have a calling on our lives. And Lord, I want to thank you that Ruth was just sensitive to the call on her life. I want to thank you that you put people around her that when she doubted that, just encouraged her and spurred her on. And Father, we want to thank you that Magnify has been the result of just faithful, obedient steps in you. We thank you, O God, for these phenomenal worldwide publications that are now emailing in and contacting and saying, no, this has a place in the market, talking of faith. And we want to pray that, Lord, you would take this magazine from strength to strength to strength. We want to pray that you'd be on Ruth. We want to pray that you would bless her. I want to pray, Lord, that she would have great sleep, great friends, oh God, great creativity. We want to ask, oh God, that you would pour your abundant blessing on this woman, that many, many people, women and men as well, would see something of your goodness and your favor, oh God. And we ask, Lord, that there would be people who would come to know you, King Jesus, because they've read this magazine. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's give her a big round of applause. Thank you. It is just really exciting. I just want to let you know also that this week I was away for 2 days with Terry Virgo. Some people will know Terry Virgo, some people won't. But Terry Virgo was the guy who set up New Frontiers and established New Frontiers and the part of the network of churches that we are part of. And I just need to let you know that New Frontiers went into a number of different groups called Spheres. And you need to know that New Frontiers is in rude health. And it is just very, very exciting. So New Frontiers was one organization, and then it split into like a number of smaller ones. And actually what's happening now is there are now these smaller spheres, as they're called. And we're part of Catalyst. But actually increasingly they're coming together with our own identity. So I just need to let you know that there's an increasing sense of collaboration between the different spheres. And I was in a room with 24 other leaders and Terry, and we just went round the room and we just said, oh, this is what's happening. These are how things are working out. And it's very, very exciting. So, for example, there's a guy who is in Newham in East London. And in a short time, I'm going to go visit a prayer meeting. He's part of a different sphere, which is part of New Frontiers. I'm going to go and visit a prayer meeting, which is part of yet another sphere, which is part of New Frontiers, just because we heard there's something that's really good going on over there. So I just want to feed that back to you to let you know there's a lot of awfully good stuff happening within New Frontiers. Just talk amongst yourselves for a moment. My iPad's died. Yeah. I'll have to, wait a minute. You will just, no, it's not, I don't think it's that, sorry? No, it's just died, look. No. God said no sermon. Wait a minute.
I did have a copy of the magazine, and my daughter saw it, and she went, oh, I'm having that, and just took it straight to Bedford. And I was like, oh, okay, fine. Because she just, and I think that's really good. She's 18, and she just thought, oh, yeah, I have to have it. So I just wanted to let you know. Is it come back to you? No. Okay. You took it.
please, come into the story.
Speak into the thing.
The last ones you sold, I bought 5 because I have a lot of young people around me, and I took four of them to Nigeria, and they thought it was brilliant.
It is on the cloud. Okay. We're going to talk about our Christmas events. And I don't know what you think about Christmas, but there are some things about Christmas that I really love, and there are some things about Christmas that I really hate. There are some things about Christmas that are just fantastic, and there are other things that are a real struggle. And I think some of the things, I'm not going to talk about some of the things that are a real struggle, but I guess it's just like it's really busy, and there's loads of money going on, and you feel forced into all sorts of different situations. Some of the things that I really, really love is I get to meet lots of different people. And you know, sometimes if you're planning a Christmas party, God bless you. I think we should make some commitment that all of us should plan a Christmas party, because there is something about when we meet new people, it's very exciting. Now, I don't know about this, but if you ever introduce yourself to somebody and you don't know their name, it's quite difficult, isn't it? So did you know that Jill and I have a trick about how we introduce each other? Okay, so Jill, just come up here, okay? So this is our trick, okay? So Dave, just stand up. Dave's at a party. So I know Dave really well. I've forgotten his name. Not a clue. And so I'm standing here and I say, we're chatting, and I said, oh, hi. Oh, this is Jill.
No, you don't introduce
me. No, I don't. Okay, this is Jill.
And then you carry on.
And then I just carry on talking. And what do you say?
And then I say, my husband's so rude. What was your name again?
Dave.
Oh, hi, Dave.
And then I said, oh, sorry, I forgot to introduce. No, yeah, this is Dave, Jill. Yeah, that's it. Sorry about that. So we just know, okay, that it works like that. Okay. You also need to know that is the only time that Jill is allowed to diss me in public. Okay. Okay. Because you need to know that if you're a wife, don't diss your husband in public. They don't like it, okay? It's not good for their soul, okay, to mock them in public. You can do it at home as much as you want, but not in public, okay? So Jill is able to say, yes, I'm sorry, my husband is so stupid, he didn't introduce us. But Christmas is a time when we introduce each other and we meet lots of different new people, and I think having parties. Wouldn't it be great if some of our events that we were doing this Christmas, we are able to sing carols and say and introduce people and say, oh, and this is Jesus, my friend. What? How does that work? Or we're giving out hampers, and instead of just giving out hampers, we say, oh, and do you know what? And this is Jesus, my friend. Or if we're in Graham Park, we're introducing Jesus to our friends. Oh, it is working. I have to wait and see if it... How did you get it working? Okay, all right, fantastic. Jesus is working. So the only thing is, I just feel sometimes at Christmas we do so many different things and we're involved in so many areas, and sometimes we go and give out hampers and we say, oh, here's your hamper, have a lovely Christmas. And we go. And I just think, oh, wouldn't it be great if actually this year we could give a hamper to somebody and say, do you know what, this is my friend Jesus. Now, I don't know how you would do it. We're not talking about introducing imaginary friends, okay? You know, like, this is my friend Jesus, and this is my friend Peter. No, we're not talking about that, okay? We're not talking about imaginary friends. We're talking, can the way that we speak and the way that we talk introduce something of who Jesus is? Now, I want to let you know that when we had Encounter Night here on Friday, we had a fantastic time. Did you know that Manuela led worship for Encounter Night? It was just absolutely fantastic, and I loved it. And there were some moments when we were worshiping, and I was thinking, we were singing these songs about God the Father, and it was great. And then I was getting all caught up in how God loves us. And then we were singing songs about Jesus, and then I got caught up in thinking about Jesus. We were singing this song about God the Father, and then I was just about to pray God the Father. Then we sang a song about Jesus, and then it just got a little bit confusing. And I thought, I don't know, who are we worshiping? Are we worshiping God the Father, or are we worshiping Jesus?
And then if we're going to introduce people, you know, at Christmas, who are we going to introduce people? God the Father or Jesus? And in my own little mind, I got a little bit confused. I was thinking, what are we doing? Who are we going to introduce people to? And I just want to bring some clarity to it. So can you turn, please, to Matthew chapter 22? We're going to read two. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, just for a change. Matthew chapter 22, verse 36, and it says this. When Jesus was being quizzed by the Pharisees, he said, I'll read verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees with his reply, they met together to question him again. One of them, an expert in religious law, tried to trap Jesus with this question. Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Verse 37, Jesus replied, you must love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. So what Jesus was saying to these Pharisees that tried to, it's love the Lord your God. And some of the Gospels add strength as well. So Jesus saying, no, love the Lord with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. That's what you must do above all else. You must love. So if we're going to introduce people, Jesus was suggesting to introduce them to God the Father, because you must love him with all your heart and mind and soul and strength. Yeah? Then, if you go back to Matthew chapter 10, and read verse 37. These are some verses, okay, that you don't often hear being read at a carol service or at Christmas. Verse 37. If you love your father or mother more than you love me, you are not worthy of being mine. Oh, that's not great, is it? It's not great for the family time at Christmas. You are not worthy of being mine. If you love your son or daughter more than me, you're not worthy of being mine. Really sorry, Cam, Mads, it's not so good. If you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you are not worthy of being mine. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. Now, it's just interesting, because as we were in this encounter night on Friday night, and I was thinking, well, who is it? Are we worshiping God the Father, or are we worshiping God the Son? Who do we introduce when we're out on the street? Who do we introduce people to? Now, I don't think that Jesus is saying, don't love your wife, don't love your kids, don't love your family. You'll be pleased to know. But what he is saying is that Jesus is demanding from us our unequivocal devotion. And it will the amount that Jesus is asking us to love him will seem in comparison as if we are totally discarding our families. Jesus is not saying that. You just need to hear that. He's not saying discard your families and don't love them. But he's saying this, that we must love Jesus more than that. And it makes me think, well, is that Jesus just being a little bit needy? Oh, just love me. Isn't that a bit odd? And it's no, he says this, if you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. And you know, there are many times where, you know, people are thinking about becoming a Christian and you think, oh, and it's really easy. No, actually what the scriptures are saying is that we must be prepared to be so devoted to Jesus that we give up our life for him. Everything else lies that we lie down. So when we're talking to people, who are we going to say that we love? God the Father or Jesus? If you ever read any stuff by people like John Piper, he is really helpful on this. And he said in particular, he said this, if you ever want to reach Muslim people with a faith, you have to talk about Jesus. You have to talk about Jesus. So this 2 weeks ago, in this room here, we had an interfaith group of 30 Muslim, Jewish, and Christian kids. And they came from, where's Michelle? Michelle, you set it up. Did you set it up? Oh, okay. So from Hendon School, Aisha School, which is the Muslim school,
and Jacos, which is the Jewish school. So they came in here, and they did some cooking together. It was the week after all the Paris attacks. So they came in here, they did some cooking together, and it was quite interesting seeing these Muslim girls cooking, and then a Jewish girl come and sort of like help them get it into the little cake tins, and it was quite a powerful picture, actually. And I am all for doing that. I am all for building friendships. I'm all for living at peace with our fellow humans as far as we can. But you know, sometimes don't ever, ever mistake that for being we all worship the same God. Because absolutely we do not. We do not. And Jesus says this. Jesus at one point went head to head with the Pharisees. He looked them straight in the eye and he said this. If you love the Father, you love me. If you love the Father, you will love me. And actually, we need to be absolutely crystal clear that we are introducing people to Jesus. Now, the truth is, we can't love one without the other, can we? We love the Father, and then we love the Son. And so it's really important. But actually, in today's world, and it's interesting, with so much pluralism going on, and I know, Tim, you're just about to start a job in March, aren't you? With Christian Concern. And Tim's brief is going to be particularly, like, how do the churches really express their distinctiveness when actually there's quite a lot of pressure with Muslims saying, no, we must be accepted. How can we treat Muslims with gentleness and respect and yet still be absolutely crystal clear that we are putting our trust in Jesus Christ, in Christ alone? So we need to be praying for Tim, and we will be praying for him, but as he sort of like just gets more and more into that sort of sphere. We don't need to be mistaken in saying, no, we all people love. The other interesting thing is, somebody once said, Michael Ramsden said, that people use this example of a mountain, and God is at the top, and then all these different faiths, they're just going up this mountain together. And sometimes they're on the opposite sides, so you don't see them going up, but you know actually they all lead to one God. And I thought, you know, well, people use that sort of example, don't they? And they say, and it seems to make sense. And you think, well, no, you're right. Maybe we don't know what's the other side of the mountain. And yet, when Michael Ramsden said this, you have to understand this. The person who says that, where are they putting themselves? They're putting themselves right on top, looking down, in the place of God. They're deciding what happens. And actually, no, they're not God at all. And so we just need to be really clear. No, we love Jesus. The verses, I don't know if you've noticed this, but the verses that have just impacted me most of all in the last couple of weeks are these verses from Philippians 3, and I just keep going back to them. I want to know Jesus and the power of the resurrection. And do you know what? I want to know Jesus. I want to do all this Christmas stuff. And I tell you, it's so easy. We can get really wrapped up in tinsel and all sorts of carols and singing Away in a Manger and all this stuff. No, I want to introduce people to Jesus Christ. We need to be very quick. Is anyone getting cold? We can cope with them. What does this look, what does it look like to love Jesus? Well, I know that with Jill, I have a number of love languages. So last night she was driving. I knew that if I wanted to express my love to Jill, I need to do things for her, tasks for her. So I have find my friends on my phone. Jill was driving down from Sheffield. She'd asked me before she drove up to Sheffield at the beginning of the day, would you just put some washing in the dryer? That'd be really helpful. I timed it to perfection. I knew when she was more or less driving down Sefton Avenue. As she was driving down Sefton Avenue, I just happened to saunter down, put a load of washing in the dryer. Because I know that, I'm not that I'm being shallow or anything, you know, I'm just doing it to be the effect. But I know what actually is helpful for you. What does it look like to love Jesus? You could say, is that being obedient? Just doing what Jesus says? Well, that is one of the things. But it actually says that if you love me, you'll do what I say. If you love me, being obedient to Jesus, that's a consequence. I tell you what really loving Jesus is. Allowing yourself to be consumed by Jesus. Allowing your emotions and your desires to be consumed with Jesus. And some people, you know, occasionally people would say, well, I couldn't help it. I just fell in love with her. I didn't want to. I just fell in love with her. I had to do it. No, you didn't. No, you didn't, actually. You let it happen. And if you want to know the real truth of you can control your own emotions, this is the one cast iron gospel bit of proof that you can choose what your you give your affections to. Train spotting. Bus timetables. I know guys that would give their lives for bus timetables. I know guys that will travel around the world, okay, looking at buses, taking photographs of buses. I know a group of guys out in Belgium that I've got to know just recently who their greatest joy in life is traveling around factories taking pictures of them. And the sad thing is I'm at the age where I think, oh, it'd be quite fun to go and join them. Now, okay, all I'm saying is this. You choose what you give your affection to. You choose what you give. And you know, you can't just say, well, I'm not really feeling it at the moment. I tell you what, you feed what you want to love with a passion. You feed, and so people say, well, I don't really feel any great love for Jesus. All I'm saying is, no, feed the love that you have for Jesus. Feed your emotions, command, provoke, inspire your affection for Jesus. You can do it. Where are we going? I need to finish quite soon. Where does this love come from for Jesus? Have you ever noticed that the people who seem to love Jesus the most are the people who seem to have been forgiven the most? And have you ever noticed that the people whose lives were just a little bit of a train wreck, they are the ones who just really love Jesus a lot? Do you know why it is? Because they know how much they've been forgiven. They know it. And there's the parable that Jesus told about being forgiven £5,000 or £5. It doesn't mean, no, but if you've been forgiven a lot. So actually, the way that we learn to love Jesus is this. Just reflect on how much he has done for us. And that's why when we're in worship on Friday at the Encounter Night, you just, it just comes back to this place of, Jesus, I thank you for the cross. I thank you. I didn't deserve it. And it doesn't matter how you do it. It just comes back to that. All, I thank you for the cross. I thank you for it. And it's the people, when a contrast is great in our lives, that's when we know how much we are loved by God. So when we're just talking about Christmas, where does the love for Jesus come? And if you're thinking, oh, I'm not really up for this, just reflect on this. You are steeped in sin, and you are going to a very, very sticky end. You are going to be like removed from the presence of God forever. You are going to be punished forever. Yet Jesus, in his grace, took your punishment for you, and he lavishes righteousness on you. We're going to come and do some signing up for some Christmas events, and I think there are some clipboards, and Dave is going to lead us through this. But to finish with, on Friday night, we were worshipping in here, and there are many times when we worship. And the temptation was that as we were worshipping, to feel, oh, it's all about us. When we stand in here and worship, we think, oh, it's all about us. We're in this little scout hut, this old scout hut, tucked away in the middle of nowhere. What impact are we going to have on anybody? And I felt God said to me this, that when we are worshipping, that is the moment of breakthrough. When we worship, and when we decide to worship Jesus, that's when breakthrough happens. Why? Because of this. When we worship, we fall more in love with Jesus. When we fall more in love with Jesus, we're changed. When we are changed on the inside, we become different people. When we become different people, our homes become different places. When our homes become different places, our streets are impacted. When our streets are impacted, a borough is changed. Do you know, there is this impact that starts. And, you know, sometimes they have all these evangelistic programs that you can put on. And we could spend thousands and thousands of thousands of pounds delivering leaflets. And it won't make a scrap of difference unless this thing, one thing. We love Jesus. We love him. And so we're going to ask you to... We're going to go through, Dave, you're going to go through all the different things that we're going to do. I just need to let you know, these are not just events that we're signing up to, but these are moments when we can say, this is my friend, Jesus. Last example, Jill just told me that she, when you came back from Sheffield,
you went to the loo, gave £5 to the woman that was cleaning the toilets. Is that correct? Stopped at a service station. Lady was cleaning the toilets. Random act of kindness, give her £5. She might think, who is this weirdo? Actually, it doesn't matter. When something has happened within us, when we love Jesus more, we will do anything to bless anybody. Because we are changed on the inside out. And you think this, what did you say anything to the, what did you just say? Thank you for cleaning the toilets. God wanted to bless you today. That's all you need to say. That could have been the most powerful thing that woman ever heard in her life. Ever. I heard of a Muslim guy who came to faith just because he did a job for somebody and the guy he was doing it for paid him £20 extra because he said, you did a great job and God wants to bless you. Who knows what will happen? Who knows what will happen? Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for Christmas. I thank you that it's a chance to introduce, Lord, and just to get to know many different people. We pray for parties that we may be hosting. We pray for work dues that we may be attending. We pray, Lord, for all the different people that we will speak to. We pray for the hampers that we will distribute, the carols that we will sing, oh God, the people that we'll invite to our carol service here. But we ask, oh Lord, one thing. Would we introduce them to you, King Jesus? Through our actions and through our words, Lord, I pray, King Jesus, would you speak to people? Would you heal people as we deliver leaflets? Would you heal people as we give out some hampers? As we worship you, we ask, O Lord, not just for carols to be sung, but the melodies of heaven to be sung, O God. Lord, we pray, would you become increasingly famous this Christmas, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.